Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
The title of my message is Go Tell It on the Mountain. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 2. And I really, chronologically now, Christ has been born. You know, the Lord directed Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem. And there in the manger, Jesus Christ was born. This is very exciting news. So God has a big announcement to make. Who should he tell first? Now, if I were God, I would have thought about telling Caesar Augustus. Because remember, we told you earlier that the name Augustus, or really title, means of the God. See, this crazy guy, Caesar Augustus, thought he was a god. Actually, Lucy was pretty accurate when she called him Little Caesar, because historians tell us he may have been around 5'7". And so this little guy, who was big in his own mind, thought he was a god. How awesome would it be for an angel to come into his court and say, "Hey, Caesar, you're not God, but God is here, and he's a baby in Bethlehem." Or to appear to Herod the Great, who called himself the King of the Jews. But Jesus was the King of the Jews and the King of Kings. But no, the Lord did not go to Caesar or to Herod, or maybe the religious leaders who spent their time poring over Scripture, but somehow were unaware of the most significant event in human history. No, of all people, the Lord chooses shepherds. I mean, if we were doing this today, we'd have a media campaign. Jesus would have his own Facebook page. There would be, you know, a hashtag, Christ the Savior is born, right? We would be talking about it in every way we could, but God decides to go to the least influential people in the culture of that day, shepherds, keeping watch over their flocks by night. You know, like a lot of other elements of the Christmas story, we have sort of glamorized the shepherds. And by that I mean, we don't understand who they were and what they were in the culture of this day. I mean, we dress up as shepherds at Christmas. We have little figurines of them, you know, around our nativity scene. But shepherds were at the very bottom of the social ladder. In fact, they were even despised by many. One of the reasons was they could not observe the ceremonial hand washings that were required to approach God in the temple. And that's because these guys were, well, they were like salt of the earth people. They were blue collar workers. They had dirt under their fingernails. They got out there and got the job done. And when they heard there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, and you'll find him in a manger or a cave, they totally connected, because that's how they had their babies, out in the open air. We thought, oh, wow, we get that. And these are the ones that the Lord handpicked. Some would even regard them as lowlifes. The testimony of a shepherd, for instance, was not even allowed in a court of law because it was assumed they would not tell the truth. So God says, I'm going to tell the lowlifes, if you will. I'm going to tell the outcasts. I'm going to tell the people on the bottom of the social ladder that there is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is really typical of the way God often works. I mean, who did he choose to be the mother of the Messiah? A peasant girl named Mary, living in Nazareth. As I said earlier, Mary was a nobody living in a nothing town in the middle of nowhere. But throughout his ministry, Jesus always had time for the nobodies, the outcasts, the unloved, people like Zacchaeus, the despised tax collector, or the woman caught in the act of adultery, or the immoral woman at the well, and the list goes on. And Jesus also had time for hurting people. Whenever there was a hurting people and Jesus was nearby, you would know it was only a matter of time until the two would connect. Like one day he was on his way to touch the daughter of Jairus, a very influential man, powerful man. And as he was on his way, some woman who had some medical condition, she could not get resolved. She had spent all of her money on quack doctors, determined. If she could touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. So here's Jesus weaving through this big, huge crowd that's almost crushing him. And this woman reaches through and touches the very edge of his robe. And suddenly Jesus stops and says, "Who touched me?" It's like, who touched you? Who didn't touch you? Everybody's touching you. He says, "No, I perceive that power has gone out of me." And the crowd sort of parts. And there's that woman. "Hi." And he commends her for her faith. Now, he could have said, "I don't have time for you. You're not important. I'm going to the house of Jairus. His daughter is very ill." But no, he always had time for people like her and people like, well, little children. Remember when the mothers brought their children to Jesus and the disciples tried to shoo him away? "Don't bug Jesus. He's busy. He has more important things to do than talk to your little kid." Jesus said, "Hey, let those little children come unto me and don't forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." That song we sing, "Jesus loves the little children," is really true. Yes, he always had time for the down and outers, for the outcasts, for the unloved, the unknown. And that's why he came to shepherds, to the angels. Luke chapter 2 verse 8 says there were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said, 'Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths," or rags, "lying in a manger," basically in a cave. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, 'Glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace, will, goodwill toward men.' And it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" I mean, think about this. These guys, shepherds, living outside, really no homes to speak of. They didn't see a lot of things. They didn't get out much. And now they're watching a heavenly light show. It's like God takes a veil separating earth from heaven, pulls it back and says, "Check it out, boys." And they're watching angels of the Lord worshiping God. "Glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace toward you." No wonder they started to freak out. And I've told you before, that's why angels always started with the words, "Don't be afraid," because people freaked out when they saw angels. I read, I haven't gone and researched this myself, but I read that that the phrase "fear not" appears 365 times in the Bible. That's interesting. That would mean there's one "fear not" for every day of the year. And that's a good thing to think about as we enter into 2017, that we do not have to be afraid. Commentator Ray Steadman once said, and I quote, "The chief mark of the Christian ought to be the absence of fear and the presence of joy." I like that. So here's the message: don't be afraid. Why? Because this is good news. And by the way, this phrase for good news is from a verb that we translate into the word evangelism. Tell the people the good news that Christ the Savior is born. It was good news in a bad world. And they were living in a bad world. They were living with uncertainty. They wondered if Rome would ever leave and stop occupying the homeland of the Jewish people. They wondered if that wicked Herod would ever be out of power. They wondered if the Messiah would come. Well, the Messiah had come. And we too live in an uncertain world. I mean, you can't even turn on the news without hearing about all these threats against our nation, threats against our churches even, and people that wish us ill, people that want to harm us, and it's a scary world we're living in right now. But here's what the Lord says: don't be afraid. Instead, rejoice, because there is a great event that has happened. I love this. Good tidings of great joy. Another translation puts it this way: a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. So here's three reasons that you don't have to be afraid this Christmas as we close out 2016. Number one reason: we have a Savior. there's born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior. Remember, we talked about that last night, that he saved us from our past and our present and our future. He forgives us for all the wrongs and the sins we've committed. And he helps us each and every day because, yes, we still sin. And he saves us from a future judgment as well. He's put your sins as far away as the east is from the west. So this is the great hope that we have. We have a Savior. And then the second reason we don't have to be afraid is because we have a Christ. A Christ. Now, the phrase Christ means anointed one. Another word you could put in its place is Messiah. Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promise to send his son as the Messiah. So we're reminded that God keeps his promises. He always keeps his promises. If God says something is going to happen, you can take it to the bank. And what has he promised? Well, so many things. But he has promised to never leave us or forsake us. He has promised to work all things together for good to those that love him and are the called according to his purpose. He has promised he will come again and receive us to himself. Yes, we have a Savior. Yes, we have a Christ. And thirdly, we have a Lord. And what does that mean? That means we have someone who will take control of our life. And I like that. Now, some of us are resistant to letting Jesus be Lord. You know, we're sort of the worst backseat drivers ever. We have one of those bumper stickers on our car. God is my co-pilot. Man, I don't want God as my co-pilot. I want him as the pilot. I want him in control. But, you know, when I drive with my wife, I'm the worst. I turn here, speed up, speed up, speed up. You're going to miss the light. Go, 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 go. She says, do you want to drive? Yes, I do. And then we may be at the market and, you know, it's only like 4 minutes to our house. Do you want to just drive? Yeah, go ahead, pull over right now. I'll drive. It'll be much better. And then I get in her seat and it's pushed so far forward that my face is against the windshield and, you know, I have to get back and get adjusted. But hey, I like to be in control. That's pretty true of men in general, but not only men. But Jesus wants to be Lord. You have a Savior. You have a Christ. You have a Lord. But I love this because that means that he's going to protect me as I go in life. He'll welcome me into heaven one day when I've finished this race on earth. He has me covered. He has me covered for the coming year. Here's the message of the angels for the coming year. Don't panic. It's organic. No, that's not the message. That's really? People are saying, is that in the Greek? No, it isn't. I just wanted to say something really random to see if you're listening. That's how I talk to my grandchildren. You know, I have to keep their attention. Well, what did the shepherds do when they heard this announcement? Go to verse 15 of Luke 2. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. I love this. And here are our marching orders for the coming year. Go tell everyone what has happened. See, this was their testimony. What an awesome testimony to be one of these guys. Yeah, I was just out there watching the old sheep one night when the angel of the Lord appeared. In fact, not just an angel, but angels, plural, lots of them. And they said this, and then we went and saw God in human form lying in the manger. Wow. No wonder people were astonished. So they went and got the message out. And that's what we're supposed to do in this coming year. Hey, that's a good thing to do today. How many of you are going to family events today? Raise up your hand. You're going somewhere, yeah. A lot of you are going to be on the road, right? And so then you're going to get there, and there's a whole family, and you'll probably have a meal together. And you probably have non-believers in your family, right? How many of you have non-believers in your family? How many of you are the non-believer in your family? Okay, well, you might be here. I don't know. How many of you are maybe one of the very few Christians in your family? You don't? Okay, so here's what's going to happen. You're going to get to the event, and the meal's going to be ready, and there's that awkward, should we pray moment, right? So here's what you're going to do today, okay? You are going to pray. and they'll put up with it because it's Christmas. You'll say, let's pray for the food. And they'll say, okay. And some will bow their heads and some will close their eyes. Some will stare at you. It doesn't matter. Because here's the cool thing about prayer. Not only are you talking to God, but you can also talk to people. And listen to this. When you're leading a prayer, my friend, you have the floor. It's pretty rare that someone will interrupt a prayer. So I like to take advantage of it. So here's the kind of thing I'd pray. All right, let's pray. Lord, today we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful that Jesus was born in that manger. But Lord, we're also thankful that he went to a cross and died for our sins. And then he rose from the dead. And Lord, we know that Jesus is with us right now, standing at the door of every heart. And then say, and while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe one of you would like to accept Christ. Aunt Matilda, I'm talking to you. No, don't do that. But you get the drift. You see, you can share your faith. Talk about it. It's actually easier on a day like Christmas, isn't it? And, you know, be like those shepherds and go tell what the Lord has done for you. I love that Christmas song we sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. While the shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Do that today. Do that in the coming year because he's alive. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that you were born and that you died and you rose and you are coming again. And now we pray, Lord, that as we walk into this coming year with uncertainty and with those that would wish us harm, that you would protect our nation, that you would send a spiritual awakening to America. And Lord, that you would open doors for the proclamation of the gospel in an unprecedented way. And Lord, use us to be like those shepherds and share our faith with everyone we come into contact with to go tell it on the mountain. We commit ourselves to you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.